has stayed, and we appreciate you staying. I've got two passages that we'll be dealing with today, and the first is over in James chapter 1. So if you want to be turning over there, James chapter 1. And this afternoon, what I want us to do is talk about temptation. And this lesson is entitled The Three C's of Temptation. And the sermon starter for this came from Wendell Winkler. I was able to be in one of his little classes at a workshop many, many years ago. And if you knew Brother Winkler, you knew he was a deep, deep student of the Bible. He took his Bible during this lesson, and he started turning, and this was sermon starters for preachers. And so he would just turn the pages. He says, oh, here's a good one. Boom, boom, boom. And turn the page. Oh, here's another good one. Point one, point two, point three. And I wrote as fast as I could as a young preacher trying to write these down. This one is the favorite, though, of the sermon starters that I got from him. It all focuses on 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, which we'll be to in just a moment. The three C's of temptation. What can we do to overcome temptation? That we're all tempted in different ways, aren't we? I mean, what tempts me might not tempt you. As a matter of fact, we just finished this wonderful meal, and thank you so much. Not just the ladies, but the men, too, because I know that we all have a part in that. If you didn't cook, you encouraged your wife, too. And so it's all good. It was wonderful food, great food. And I don't know about you, but I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't have built in those cabinets for the dessert racks, because there were just the perfect amount of room for all the desserts were there. As a matter of fact, if Jimmy had built that on around the corner, I think they would have filled it up with desserts today as well. All these desserts out there, all that stuff. Can I tempt you with another piece of pie at this hour? Probably not, right? Our temptation comes and goes in different ways. We're all tempted in different ways. Years ago, for example, I went down to New Orleans with a group of college kids there. I was in college. We went down for an honors convention to New Orleans. And as a part of our time down there, it was during the Final Four as well, all kinds of partygoers all over. And we come down from Free Harbor, this honors group, and we're going to go down to the French Quarter and walk through. And so we went down for a really nice meal, and the girls are dressed in dresses, and the guys are dressed in blazers and ties. And here we are walking through the French Quarter. And now we've got all kinds of partygoers from the NCAA all around us, and here we stick out like a sore thumb all over. Now, I don't know if you've been to New Orleans, but there are some things in New Orleans that aren't very godly. And some of them are all concentrated down in that area. Now, when we think about temptation and what we have to go through, that experience to me was a very practical experience, because it taught me that even though temptation might be there, our environment around us and how we control the people and the elements with us help us to overcome temptation. So how can we be stronger in the face of temptation? I can tell you that when you're walking down through the French Quarter and you've got 25 or 30 Free Hardeman College students around you, a few faculty members, your ability to withstand temptation is much stronger than if you were walking down there all alone without anybody that knew that you were there. So we're going to talk about this. Let's look at James chapter 1, and let's see how temptation comes about. James chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So what's he saying here? Well, our temptation comes from within us, our own desires. I don't like coconut. That's my personal preference. If it's in something that I'm already eating, I'll probably go ahead and eat it, but I don't prefer coconut. That's not to slight any of you that love coconut. I'm all for people that love coconut, but for me personally, if you put that wonderful, beautiful coconut cake, you know, the kind with that rich, creamy icing with all the coconut spread all over it, I would just lament the fact that you've ruined all that wonderful icing by putting all that shaving of coconut on top of it, right? To me, it just ruins the whole thing. To others, their mouth would water, they would drool, and they just couldn't wait to get into that nice, fresh coconut cake. We're all tempted by different things. Our own desires tempt us in different ways. Yesterday, Carl and I were flipping through the channels, and we came to the Georgia game, and we thought about Barry and Greta. And she said, I bet they're sitting down watching the ball game. Well, they might have been. Okay, that's one of their desires. They're Georgia fans, and so they're going to want to do that. We also noticed that when we take our boys out to eat and when Alabama's playing on TV, nobody else is going out to the restaurants. It's a really good time to go to the restaurants because nobody is tempted to go out when they could stay at home and watch Alabama play on TV. Listen, we're all tempted and enticed by our own desires. What is tempting to one person might have no appeal at all to another person. Now, that's important because one person might be tempted to defraud another or to steal or to take something that's not theirs, and another person has no desire whatsoever for monetary things and material things. What about this again? How does this come about? Let's look at this again. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, it's not wrong for us to be enticed or for us to you know, these things happen. Something catches your eye or something's there, but notice what happens. Now, that desire then, that gives birth, when it is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And then sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So what happens is you've got this transition, this process of going into sin, going into this temptation. So the fact that you are tempted is not the sin. The fact that you yield to the temptation and that you go into that sin, that's when it becomes the sin. All of us are tempted in different ways. But what can we do to control it? Now, God does not tempt you to sin. That's an important part of this passage. God does not tempt you. He does not tempt anyone to sin. But also, he can't force you to do what's right. How many people here remember Flip Wilson? Let me see your hands. Oh, come on. Some more of you. Okay. One of the phrases Flip Wilson used to say was, the devil what? The devil made me do it. Let me tell you something. Flip Wilson didn't know what he was talking about. The devil cannot make you do anything. The devil cannot make you do anything. Somebody said just a few minutes ago before we started the service, are you going to make us go to sleep during the service? And I said, I'd never make anybody go to sleep. I just give you permission. There's a difference. I'm not going to make you do that. The devil cannot make you sin. Okay? Cannot make you sin. But also, God cannot make you make the right choice. This is up to us as individuals. We all are tempted in different ways, but you are in control. Now let's look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Great passage here, and we want to be aware of our situations. That is so, so very true. Look at these two verses. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, so let's be aware of our situations and know the first C, three C's to temptation. The first C is that all temptation is common. All temptation is common. Remember, our Lord was tempted in all ways that we are tempted, yet without sin. So here we have this situation where, and let's read this again, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, you're not the first one to be tempted in this way. Now, you might have the lust of eyes, the lust of life, the pride of life, you know, those things in that situation. And the temptation comes in different packages, but it's the same temptation. Might be the temptation to steal, might be the temptation to lie, to lust, to have illicit activities, whatever it might be. The temptations are common. In other words, everybody has faced, or people in the past have faced the same type of temptation. Might be in a different package, but it's the same type of temptation. That's comforting to know the fact that we're going through something that everybody else has gone through. Now, the second C here is that all temptations are contained. Notice again in verse 13, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Now, that to me is a huge bonus for us as Christians. You might say, well, I've got a friend that says that he's just as good as any Christian he knows. He just tries to do what's right, and he can live just as good a life as any Christian. He doesn't have to go to church. We may think he's living just as good, but he doesn't have the benefits that God provides. One of the great benefits that God provides to his people is found in this verse, that the temptations, not only are they common, but also they're contained. God will not allow you to be tempted above the level that you're able to withstand. Okay, do you understand that concept? God will not allow you individually to be tempted above the level which you can withstand. In other words, you're really in control. And you can't say, well, you know, the devil made me do it, or it was just overwhelming. I had no choice. I've never yet sat with somebody who was remorseful for a sin, and we start to go back and think about that sin and how it came about. I've never met with a Christian yet who said, I never had an option of not doing that. Every Christian I've ever sat with who was sorry for their sin always could go back and say, this could have been different if I had not been alone. This would have been different if I had not disengaged from church. This would have been different if whatever else had happened. Contained. I like the fact that God is not going to allow me or you to be tempted above the level which we're able to withstand. Now, that's going to be different for different people. Okay? A new Christian has very low tolerance for these things because they're still learning, and so their level is going to be very much lower. As we get older, we're going to know a deeper faith, and so our tolerance is going to be higher. But God's not going to allow us to be tempted above the level which we are able to withstand. And that's important to me. All temptation is common, it's contained, and also, guess what? It is conquerable. Let's finish the verse out. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I want to bear it. I want to be able to get away from temptation. Now, I did something today at the meal that I don't normally do. I went through the dessert area. Years ago, James Watkins, who at that time held about 45 meetings a year and was still very slim, and I said, Brother James, how in the world do you go to all these meetings? You got a potluck every day of the meeting. 5 days a week you go to potlucks, and yet you don't look like you've ever gained a pound. How do you get through all those potlucks and not gain any weight? He says, very simple. I never eat dessert. I'm like, hey, that's simple, isn't it? Isn't that great? All you have to do is just not eat dessert. Well, guess what? I yielded to that temptation today, I guess, right? Now, was I able to withstand that? Yeah, but I didn't want to. You know, it's like I looked at it, and you ladies work too hard on those desserts to take them all home for your husbands. And so I want you to know that I sacrificed myself. Now, that's justification. See, I'm trying to justify what I did. Temptation comes in different ways. Let's just stay with that concept about the dessert. Could I have decided not to eat dessert? Yes, I could have. Several of you, after the meal, I asked, how was your lunch? And you responded by saying, I ate too much. I sympathize. I feel your pain. I ate too much too. Whose choice was it to eat too much? Did your wife force feed you? No, I don't think so. Did somebody else pile all the food on your plate and you felt obligated to eat it all so that you wouldn't hurt their feelings? No, most of us took that portion out ourselves, right? Listen, we are in control of our situations. We really, really are. When the doctor sets you down and says you have to change something in your life, you either have to eat less or stop smoking or start exercising or doing something else, the doctor is telling you this as a prescription. He's telling you this for your own good, but you are still in control of what you will actually decide to do. And until you decide to do what is the prescribed thing to do, you're not going to have the result that he's going to promise you. God tells us there's a difficulty that you're going to encounter as a child of mine. You're going to go into a world that hates you and despises you. You're going to go into a world that wants to belittle your values. You're going to go and try to do right, and people are going to make fun of you. And the temptation is going to be for you to go and be like the world so the world will love you again. And God says, I want you to be stronger than that. I want you to work through those things. And I want you to know as a child of mine that I'm here to protect you, that every single temptation that you face is going to be something that somebody else has already faced in the world. Some of them have failed. Others have succeeded. The choice is yours. Every single temptation that you face is also going to be contained because I love you so much, God says, that I'm not going to allow you or you or you or me to be tempted above the level that we can withstand. We are in control of the choices that we make. And finally, God says, but even through all that, I want you to know that there is a way of escape. You can overcome sin, and I will also make a way of escape for you. I tell you what, friends, when you have been caught in a sin, or when you feel that you finally had that moment to evaluate your position before God, and you know that you've made some mistakes, you go back and recount all the things that you did to get to that point, and I promise you, you can think of an alternate way that you could have behaved, alternate choices that you could have made. God equips us with what we need to overcome these things. We all are going to fail at times. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to say the wrong things and do the wrong things. We're going to feel lousy about it. We might even feel like we need to detach from the group and go be a hermit somewhere because we're so embarrassed about the mistake that we made. Listen, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody falls short. It's the nature of who we are as humans. But God cares for us and wants us to be right with Him. God wants us to be right. And so through all of this, I want you to remember this short passage here in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. These three C's of temptation. All temptation is common. All temptation for you as a Christian is contained. It's got a limit to it. God has limited the temptations that you'll face. And thirdly, then, all of it is conquerable. You're not going to be successful every single time that you face temptation. Don't think that you have to be perfect. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. But God expects you to look towards perfection as you live in a mature and perfect way for Him. So for any of us, as we think about the mistakes that we make, temptation is going to be a part of that. We've been tempted or lured into that sin or into that situation. But rest assured, there is a way out. There's a way for you to rectify that before God, to rectify that with those that you may have harmed, and to be at peace with God and to know that you're right. Because God loves you, and we love you here as well. Todd has a song of encouragement that's been selected for this afternoon. We thank you again for being here and staying with us, and we want you to know that as you go throughout this week, you represent God. You wear the name of Christ. You're a Christian, a child of God. And so I want you to be a good representative of Him. If there are things between you and God that we can help you with through prayer to rectify, we want you to know that we're happy to do that here as a group. We'll do that after the services, one-on-one. We'll do it at any time to help you feel that good relationship with God once again. And if you want to be like our new brother Leroy this morning, who said, you know, I need to put on Christ in baptism. I need to have my sins washed away. Just like with him, we can witness you becoming a child of God. How about it? Why not now while we stand and sing?